The Italian island of Sardinia is both mysterious and enchanting. While it's a hot spot for global jet setters for its Mediterranean sunshine and fine beaches, beyond its resort beaches, it's definitely off the beaten path with a vast and traditional interior that rewards the adventurous traveler with rustic charms. Jeff Biggers has written a fascinating book on Sardinia that reads like a novel as well as a guidebook in disguise to introduce us to Italy's second island. He joins us today to share why he's so enamored with this Vermont-sized island about 100 miles off the coast of mainland Italy. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick. It's a real pleasure.
Boy, you know, Sardinia is part of Italy, but it really is isolated from Italy, isn't it? I mean, we know about Sicily, and it's just, you can see the football from the end of the boot there. But Sardinia is just over 100 miles off the coast, and Sardinians are Italians, but really, they're Sardinians first, I would imagine. Tell us about the sense of identity of the people of Sardinia.
Sure. You know, you're really talking about an ancient civilization. I think what drew me to Sardinia in the first place was this idea that we, you know, constantly look at antiquity in Italy, and we go from Venice to Florence and through the medieval periods, and then we get to ancient Rome, and then we even see the Etruscans in Tuscany. And then I realized, you know, there's an even more ancient culture and civilization I had to discover, and that's why I went to Sardinia. And I think that antiquity makes up a lot of their identity. Huh. It's an identity both of their own being indigenous with their own cultures and many thousands of years of civilization, but also an identity that has been connected to many other countries and conquerors and people who've come through.
And you wrote about that in your book about the Bronze Age Sardinians. And I think the Bronze Age goes back to like 1800 BC, right?
Right, exactly. 4,000 years ago.
Geez, that's a thousand years before the birth of ancient Rome.
Exactly. You know, you can't go any more than a mile anywhere in Sardinia without passing these Bronze Age towers that are called nuraghis. If you look at them, they look kind of like medieval castles. You know, they're built with basalt blocks over a yard and a half long, and they're stacked without mortar, often for two or three floors. And these things are 3,500 to 4,000 years old, when Sardinia really served almost as a cradle of civilization and a real nexus of exchange there in the Mediterranean for many cultures.
I was struck with the same thing in Malta. I didn't know Malta had a Bronze Age history, and it's just dotted with monuments like Sardinia, sort of an open-air Bronze Age museum, wasn't it?
You know, exactly. In fact, the Sardinians often talk about the island being an open museum, and I think that's how they're looking at both traveling and cultural tourism now is they, for example, there's over 8,000 of these nuraghis, you know, and less than 2% have even been excavated. So the idea of these magnificent treasures and so much more information that we can learn, we're really kind of at the beginning of a real revival of cultural tourism on the island.
Now, that was 4,000 years ago, but of course, there's been centuries and centuries of human activity and comings and goings, and you can derive a lot from the dialects and the languages of an island like Sardinia. If I understand correctly, there's even a Catalan dialect, right, indicating people came from Barcelona.
Exactly. So we lived in the northwestern city of Alghero, which really is taken from the word algae. And it's this beautiful medieval city that the Catalans came under the Aragon Empire and sacked and took from the Genovese and created this beautiful city. To me, it's this really one of the most beautiful places in the Mediterranean. And there still today, a quarter of the people speak Catalan, even though the Catalani and the Spanish left in the 1700s.
Wow. Every time I dig deeper into any chunk of land in Europe, I realize how much diversity there is and how much places are crossroads of civilizations. And I mean, I understand you actually lived there with your family for a year. How did you become enamored with Sardinia and what was it like to live there with your family, raising your kids there?
You know, our kids were in school, so that immediately kind of introduced us to families and people within the town. But I'd been in Italy off and on since 1989, and my wife is from Umbria. She's from Spoleto. We lived for many years in Bologna. I've done a lot of theater work both in Florence and Rome. And Sardinia was kind of always out there, and we decided to go for her sabbatical in 2017 just to give our kids a different experience. And I actually, to be honest with you, Rick, I didn't even plan on writing a book. But the more I went, the more I learned, and I realized, you know, there's this other part of Italy we just still need to discover, this fabulously diverse place of storytellers and writers and so much culture, and that's what really pushed me into it.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Jeff Biggers, and Jeff's new book is In Sardinia, An Unexpected Journey in Italy, and it shines a light on an underappreciated corner of the Mediterranean. You know, everybody loves Italy. It's my best-selling guidebook, and it's my favorite country in Europe, and everybody complains about the crowds because we all go to the same places, and there's so much of Italy that is unexplored, and Sardinia would be, and it's sort of juiced up by other influences, like you mentioned, people from Catalan over in what we think of as Spain. I read in your book, and it was so fun, that one of the hardest choices for you when you were with your family in Alghero was selecting the, quote, beach of the day. What was that like? What were your choices, and what did you end up with?
Right. You know, my editor gave me such a hard time for that line. You know, it was very true, these spectacular beaches and coves and ridges that you can go, and you either if you wanted to be alone or with a group or with the whole range of different beaches you want. And I think what made me really perk up my ears, Rick, is to realize that it's not by chance that Sardinia has this spectacular nature and spectacular coast that's been preserved. It's because 15 years ago, they actually passed a law that they couldn't do any more development within 3 kilometers, which is a little bit less than 2 miles from the beach. You know, you're able to find beach after beach after beach that is absolutely untouched and preserved like it has been for centuries.
And you mentioned that each beach community had its own swagger, like mini republics, their own pride.
It's very true because often, you know, each beach had its own reputation of who would go there and what type of people. And of course, there would be the fabulous little bars and little shacks that would serve you food. You know, the wonderful pasta, for example, from Sardinia Fregola, we would often eat for lunch there.
Nice.
And so each little beach really had its own personality. And this was throughout the whole island. You know, we started in the northwest and we just eventually would work our way down the western coast and then out to the little islands and then all the way around up to the eastern coast and then up, of course, to the northeast. And it was just one paradise after another. And it really became this joke of, we have 10 choices today. How on earth are we going to pick the beach we want to be at?
After 3 decades of living in and traveling to Italy, Jeff Biggers started to explore the country's second largest island, Sardinia. He's our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. In his book, In Sardinia, Jeff explains how the island works as something of an open-air museum with monuments that date back to the Bronze Age that might help you better understand the rest of Italy. Jeff divides his time between Italy and his home base in Iowa City, where he's joining us from the studios of our affiliate, Iowa Public Radio. Jeff's earlier books include Resistance, Reclaiming an American Tradition, The United States of Appalachia, and a book about Arizona called State Out of the Union. His website is jeffbiggers.com. So you've got your family choosing your private little beaches, each with its own swagger, but the lion's share of the people that come into Sardinia and the lion's share of their tourism money, I think, would be pretty much limited to the Emerald Coast. That's kind of the playground of the global jet set, isn't it?
Right, and that's up there in the northeast section, and it's a fascinating history, of course. The Aga Khan had been a student, and in the late 50s, he was told about this incredible island where there were still undeveloped beaches, and he went and made a trip, and he as well fell in love with the area on the northeastern coast and began to create, of course, what they call the Costa Smeralda, the Emerald Coast. But that's just a tiny section. And so the beauty is, if you're looking for the resorts and the developed hotels and the 5-star hotels and the famous movie stars, you can find it.
What I find fascinating about Sardinia is that we think an island would be all about the sea and seafood and fishing and so on. But until the middle of the 20th century, if I understand correctly, the island was oriented towards the interior because historically they were threatened by pirates. And until the 1950s, malaria was a problem. So you have this wicked sea that brings all these risks and people would be looking to the interior. And it really was a community and a culture of shepherds and sheep, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, the pastoral culture really was very much the identity of the Sardinian, I'd say, up until this century. Of course, you had the coastal communities that emerged into the cities themselves. But, you know, 80% really, Rick, of the island is either considered hill or mountains. Mm-hmm. And so you have that not just a pastoral culture, but people who reside within a hill culture, very connected to nature, very much connected to the food, and a completely different culture. The city of Nuoro, for example, which is considered the capital of this mountain region, and the mountain region is named after Barbagia, as in the ancient Romans' reference to the barbarians. This Barbagia region is incredibly diverse itself. You know, you go from mountain town to mountain town, and you find all sorts of festivals, all sorts of literary traditions, music tradition, dance traditions. You know, Grazia Deledda, who was the first Italian woman to win the Nobel laureate for literature, actually came from Nuoro. And she kind of represented this incredible literary movement that came out of the mountains that very much represented Sardinia on the global level.
Jeff, this is a travel show, and we've got all sorts of people dreaming of turning their travel dreams into smooth and affordable reality. And I am, too, because I've never been to Sardinia. And I would imagine you would take a ferry from the mainland over to the Cagliari, the capital and the port, the big port on the island. And then would you rent a car and explore the island? Or what would be the best way to get around? And then let's pretend we have 4 days to visit Sardinia from the mainland. Can you just kind of lay out what we might do?
Okay, so let's just start with our beloved Alghero. You arrive in the airport in Alghero, and you have your first night there, you know, walking along the bastion walls and looking out at this beautiful promontory called Capo Caccia. It's really one of the most beautiful, lovely bays I've ever seen in the Mediterranean.
I got to give you more time. I'm sorry. Let's take 6 days, okay? This just sounds too good.
We're going to stretch this to a whole month. And then in the morning, you're going to have a fabulous breakfast with a special yogurt that comes from Sardinia that's a little thicker. And then you're actually going to get in the car that you've rented and go just a few miles towards Sassari, which is another beautiful city in the north. It's only about a half an hour from Alghero. It had the first university. And before you get to Sassari, you're going to stop at the only ziggurat in all of Europe. It's a 6,000-year-old pyramid that you find only back in the Middle East, and it's called Mount Kodi.
A ziggurat, that's one of those step pyramids, isn't it, where you've got, like, different floors?
Exactly. It's literally as if it's come out of the ancient Middle East. And this is the only one that exists in all of Europe. It's just one of the most stunning places for me. I used to go there often in the evenings and just sit often alone at the top of the pyramid. You know, we've been in places, of course, like Guatemala and Mexico, and many other places that have pyramids, but to find this in Europe that's 6,000 years old, and they even found a whale tooth in one of the tombs, talks once again about this incredible nexus of exchange of cultures that date thousands of years ago. So now we got to get back in our car. We're going to go to Sassari, which is a really lively city. Reminds me of a small Dublin in many respects, a university town. And there we'll begin to see some of the amazing art at the National Art Gallery. There were several artists who've come out, including a man named Chiusa, who has really won the Venice Biennale with his sculpture and his paintings. And all this you can see at some of the art galleries.
By the way, this is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Jeff Biggers, and his book is called In Sardinia, An Unexpected Journey in Italy. And it reads like a novel, but it's also sort of a guidebook in disguise. I'd like to have my time on the beach, Jeff, and I don't need to see a lot of beaches. Take me to one beach, and what I would like to do is kind of get a sense of what's the beach scene like, and that's a whole culture of Italy. What would you do there?
Well, let's take you down to the southwestern coast, which would be a beautiful drive. They call it the Green Coast. And there you have these ancient mining villages that now are abandoned, but have left behind these beautiful ruins and these incredibly rugged beaches. And they're one of the most beautiful beaches. And let me tell you, Rick, it's really dangerous to say on radio what the best beach would be, because it's like picking your favorite wine, you know. And I'll hear tomorrow from hundreds of people who say, no, this is the best beach. But there's a beach called the Piscinas, the pools. And this is where some of the largest sand dunes in all of the Mediterranean exist, at least up to 200 feet of sand dunes, 300 feet. And there, it's a rugged beach. There's beautiful hotels and agriturismo that are nearby. But you're either able to be together with people on a beach scene, nature lovers, or take a little stroll down the beach, which goes on for kilometers, and have basically a piece of paradise all to yourself.
And Jeff, is this part of the Emerald Coast?
No, this would be down, they call it the Green Coast, the Costa Verde. And this is the southwestern part. And it's really one of the most overlooked places I find in Sardinia. that often people kind of leave it out because it's not on one of the major routes. And it's really one of some of those spectacular beaches that you can reach fairly simply within an hour or two.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Jeff Biggers, and his book is In Sardinia, An Unexpected Journey in Italy. Jeff, let's close it out just with a comment about the personality of the people, because that seemed to be a common thread throughout your book is, you know, they've had a tough past. There's sort of an intensity and seriousness about the people, and you wrote about it so warmly. Give us just a little vignette about the people you might meet if you do a good job of getting away from the tourism and meeting the real salt of the earth Sardinians.
Sure. You know, what I find is that the Sardinians truly welcome travelers, and they always have. In fact, there's even a village that has a festival for foreigners every year. You know, Rick, this is what Charles Dickens said, is he said, every Sardinian is a natural-born poet. And I found that to be true, that you would meet people, and the first thing they would do, of course, is offer you something to drink, offer you something to eat, but then they suddenly were pulling out their books they wanted to show you, and books of poetry and books of history, and then they would start pulling you out photo albums and whatnot, and they really wanted to introduce you to who they were and their distinct variant of their language or their cultures or their traditional dress or what have you, especially their literature. And I felt like this is what I found throughout the whole island, that I'm on this island of stories and this island of storytellers, and that my role as a travel writer was not to basically write my impressions, but to collect these stories, almost like a story collector, like you would with songs, because so many people were so anxious to speak about where they came from and really what set them apart. You know, that fabulous diversity that you talked about really becomes clear, because you do go from the coastal cities that have had much more of an influence of outsiders to the interior, who've been allowed to create their own cultural traditions. And everybody is very much open to discussing this in whatever language that they can manage to communicate with you and tell you about it.
That sounds like the best souvenir from a Sardinian experience.
Oh, you truly take home a story with you. And I think this is the Sardinia blues, the Mal di Sardegna, that the writer Marcello Serra was writing about, is that you go and you have these experiences, and then you go home and you just keep thinking about these incredible stories and these incredible people, wow, and you want to go back.
Jeff Biggers, thanks for writing In Sardinia, and thanks for taking a few minutes to introduce us who know so little about Sardinia, an island filled with people who have a story to share and people who would love to share that story. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thank you. It's a real honor to be on your program.
Jeff Biggers tells us where to enjoy the pastoral culture and cuisine of Sardinian shepherds. He also recommends a centuries-old festival of beauty and tells us how the ancient polyphonic songs of the tenor define the island. It's in a web extra with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Guides from Italy take your calls next at 877-333-RICK as they tell us what to look for to find the very best gelato. By email, we're at radio@ricksteves.com.